Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Ideas That Made America, A Brief History, by Jennifer Ratner Rosenhagen, narrated by Karen White. Introduction. The Ideas That Made America is a brief survey of some of the most compelling episodes and abiding preoccupations in American intellectual history. While I would like to imagine that a book on the history of American thought can be as straightforward as it is accessible, I have been teaching this material long enough to know that this is not always the case. With equal parts intrigue and skepticism, students often ask me, "What is American intellectual history?" The official version of American intellectual history goes something like this. It is an approach to understanding the American past by way of ideas and the people who made or were moved by them. Intellectual history seeks to understand where certain persistent concerns in American thought have come from and why some ideas, which were important in the past, have faded from view. It can focus on the very particular, a single concept, say, freedom or justice, or a larger body of thought, democratic theory or anti-slavery. Histories of thought can also study a particular field of knowledge, such as philosophy, psychology, or sociology, and examine how those disciplines have changed over time. All of these angles into Americans' ways of thinking are used with a careful attention to time and place. Why did they come to those conclusions? Why then? Why there? For an intellectual historian, the context of the idea is as important as the idea itself. Intellectual history also concerns itself with the myriad institutions that are sites of intellectual production, universities, publishing houses, and think tanks, as well as the various practices people have employed to engage ideas, reading, writing, discussing, experimenting, and so on. Though ideas, intellectuals, and intellectual movements are the focus in the history of American thought, it is still, first and foremost, a historical pursuit that adopts all the habits of mind familiar to political, economic, and environmental historians. Intellectual history may even focus on politics, economics, and the environment. But instead of using political parties, an economic depression, or weather patterns to understand American history at a particular time and place, it would approach political history by examining the ideas in a political treatise or presidential address. Its approach to economic history might be to investigate how economists interpreted the cause of a financial downturn, or how unemployed laborers made sense of their difficult circumstances. And its approach to the history of the environment might consider the arguments environmental activists used to try to protect endangered species, or the way a poet drew symbols from nature in her or his work. So that is something like the official version of American intellectual history, and I think an accurate description of the enterprise. But had it been described to me this way before I knew anything of the subject, I am not quite sure I would have chosen it as my life's work. The reason I became interested in American intellectual history, why it still holds my attention, why I love teaching it, and why my students seem to share the thrill of it, is that it is a way to eavesdrop on the past. Its intent is not to spy on the inner thoughts of unsuspecting dead people. Rather, it is fueled by the desire to come into contact with interesting people we might not otherwise know but for the records of their minds they left behind. The historical sensibility gladly welcomes any source to use for eavesdropping: legal documents, novels, private letters, diaries, photographs, or a painting.